can't rap. Well, what do you know? The dead org is first up to bat. No batteries included and no strings attached. No holds barred. No time for move faking. Gots to get to loot so I can bring home the bacon. Brothers front, they say the drop can't flow. But we've been known to do the impossible like Broadway Joe. So sleep if you want, like we'll help you get your Z's true. But here's the real scoop. I'm all that and then some. Short, dark, and handsome. Bust a nut inside your eye.
Welcome back to an episode of The Scenario. You'll be getting this at some point. I'm actually, you know what? I'm going to actually put this...
We're
going
to edit all that out. Yeah. That's never going to happen. Yeah. All right, man. So it's Oscar season.
Oscar season.
But you know what happens? We every Oscar season, we end up having the complaints.
Before that, can we talk about Monique thing?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Let's do that before we even go in.
Yeah, that's sure.
Let's go. So if everybody know Monique's trying to stick up Netflix for like $30 million, and she claims she's the most decorated comedian. This
is kind of like...
Yo, I don't know if I either respect it because you got that much balls and I give a fuck. Like, yo, I deserve this amount of money or delusion. I'm not sure which.
It's the wrong way to go about the goal.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Because like, it could have been a bigger thing. But
well, if I was Netflix, I would have been thinking I gave you a hookup to give you $500,000, Monique. That's just me personally.
Yeah.
If I was a black executive and they'd be like, hey, what you think about Monique? I was like, you can give about $250 for real. That'd be all right. I can see somebody in the office that was black that said that. Like, I mean, she cool. I mean, I don't think she ain't doing no Dave numbers. And we were talking about Tiffany Haddish off the air, but she could demand more than Monique right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you got to understand where you stand in the game. And I appreciate the point she's trying to make. Mm-hmm. But the way that it went about and the way that it was put out there kind of took
it
on that.
Racism and sexism.
Yeah, to me, it's like trying to play as many cards as you can to pull the spotlight on you. When she ain't really been out here working like that. You know, It's kind of like if you were out here working and you was getting overlooked and you wasn't getting the calls. Yeah, that's one thing. But I mean, I don't know. I just kind of look at it and say, don't try to do it that way.
Right, she should.
Because you're tearing down other black folks doing that too. Mm-hmm. Like saying I should, and also you're lying. You're not the most decorated.
And you're lying.
So let's not forget about that. I don't want to forget about that part.
But I know she's got all people like, well, she's got Oscars and awards. I feel that's for a drama, not for a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Now she, her beef with when it comes to Hollywood things like that, I'm cool. That's whatever it may be that she has issues with. But when you talk about coming to comedy, I don't even think when they do like the top 50 comedians all time list, Monique probably ain't even in discussion.
No, I would think not.
Even if you did a black one, for the 25 most popular black comedians of all time,
yeah.
Do you think she would make it?
No.
I don't think she would make it. And that's not even me. Somebody, quote one Monique line from a stand-up.
I don't have it. I mean, but it's never been
Monique stand-up.
I don't have it, but it's never really been my...
But I'm saying, though, I will name 10 comics now that you know their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not even the most decorated black woman female comedian. Shout out to Whoopi Goldberg if you want, let's holler back. She's the only... I think she's the only black person to have... The full
have everything. The
quadruple crown or whatever.
Yeah,
she's got a Tony, Oscar, Emmy, and Grammy.
Yeah,
what is it called? Topa? Is it?
There's a name for it.
Yeah, it's a Topa, Toga, or something like that. It's something like that. But and I'm like, yo, she either is trying to run a con, or she's doubly confident.
I would say it's probably. She's confident for sure.
Yeah.
Now you can pick the adjective to go with it, what direction it might be headed in. But I mean, it's she definitely believes in herself. Whether that belief should be verbalized the way that it is and put in play, that's a different thing.
And I feel like it pisses me off to a certain extent because that's not how you negotiate. Even if it was messed up like that, like she basically was trying to do what the Amy Schumer did with trying to get a little bit more money for her contract. But the thing was, Amy Schumer sold out like Madison Square Garden, I think like two times in a row right before that.
Yeah. Well, Amy Schumer's probably the biggest female comedian in the world right now.
Yeah. Like, that's easy money. And she still got less than Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock. Right. That's how much them cats is on another level.
Yeah, but I mean like Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock, I mean, you're talking about iconic.
Right, but you also got to think they're getting business wise, HBO probably was throwing the bag at them too. Like, yeah. So Netflix had to overpay probably to get them to keep them off the board. From
Showtime,
HBO,
you got everybody in.
Cinemax might even jump in. Like, fuck it, we got
a
bag too.
You got Hulu and Amazon, who I'm sure are interested in those same things. Like, this just the streaming game is a war right now, you know. And Disney hasn't even got into it yet. Like, it's gonna get crazy.
It's gonna get nasty on Disney.
So I mean, you know, the thing about it is, and you know, if Disney get into it, Apple ain't gonna just let that ride. You know, so I mean, there's a lot of things that are gonna happen here. Let's just see. But Monique went about it though. I think her doing that made the real gender equality
when it comes to wages and stuff.
Yeah, and if she would have kind of like toned that back a little bit, like kind of stuck to what I think, or not beating your chest and trying to make statements about who you are and what your place is. Like, I get, make the case and say that you deserve your shot. Go out there, kill it, and then negotiate with that. But now, it's kind of like you've taken this approach that's kind of shot you in the foot.
And my thing is on the other side of it, you that dope at the same time, shout out to Dame Dash, and I heard him say, he said this about, he's like, go produce that shit yourself, man. Fuck it. Absolutely. Fuck it.
I'm getting in the film production, man. And yeah. it's a market that you can get into, and you can put it out there and let people follow it and get into it. You know, I mean, that's just it. Like, I'm
sell that shit on your website.
That is my goal this year, is to get at least 2 documentaries rolling. Like, legit. And it's not going to take time. It's not going to take a ton of time to do it. It's just about getting the material put together and edited and be working with good people doing it. So you could do that. She's got a platform way bigger than mine.
Yeah.
You know, but hopefully there can be some type of, you know, opportunity granted there. But I mean, don't turn down the opportunity either, just because you don't think that you get.
Or even you, and then I have no problem with you turning it down either, though. Like, if you don't feel you're worth that, that's fine. Turn it down. But to go out the window and then start trying to make it this campaign thing and getting me to shut off Netflix, and I don't even know when it hits my bank account either. Like, how am I going to shut off Netflix and I don't even know when it hits my bank account? It's $9.99.
Right.
You ain't. I mean, yo. So what? I'm supposed to. Netflix is on my remote too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't get away from it.
It's there. Yeah. It's,
and I got a daughter that'll run in this room, like, I want to watch something on Netflix. And she'll turn it on herself. What, I'm supposed to, I got to stop the kid, too?
Yeah.
Like, I got to stop everybody?
Netflix is here to stay, man.
That's a regular utility. It's a utility now.
Netflix,
like,
is here to stay. Hell, Apple was even talking about, I mean, Disney was talking about buying Netflix.
Yeah.
I'd cash out for Disney money.
Netflix.
Disney
Netflix
bought Fox. They could definitely.
Dog. It's like when you, like, they got people's apartments now that are using Netflix as a part of, like, your apartment. Like, oh, yeah, we also give you free Netflix.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
It's a utility. Like, you get my free recognition. Like,
yeah, it's part of people's phone bills and stuff now, you know, streaming packages, things like that. It's just where it's at. Like, that's it. We'll toss this cost in. Like, some one of them is offering, like, a year of Amazon Prime for free.
And it's almost to a certain extent, like, you got to choose your battles almost. Like, all right, that's a beast. I may be pissed off at them or whatever. But I may be like, fuck them, I'm not taking that deal. But do I want to fuck up the whole game, though, by just going out here, jumping out the window, saying crazy shit?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm talking about, I got the emails and all. I'm like, god damn. Who would want to do business with you, though?
Yeah, you ostracize yourself. And that's what I hope happens. That's why I say I hope she gets a deal that works for her, because, you know, I don't want to see anybody that's been, like, cast out and, like, you can't get work because you are showing yourself to be unprofessional or.
Then she just Oprah again randomly, like in the middle of a thing, like, Oprah done nothing for black women, or whatever. I was like,
I bet you she's also one of those people that say,
like, damn, what's that got to do with this? Like, it was just like, why? What's that got to do with this?
That sounds like those people that say that Barack Obama wasn't black enough as president.
Ooh, that's a good, like, yeah.
He's supposed to just do legislation for black people. Yeah. He's the president of the United States.
And I mean that, even if he went out there and been the blackest black, he wouldn't have been black enough for some black people. Right. He could have went out there with a fucking dashiki, some sandals.
Yeah, Black Panther uniform.
Looking
on.
Like the dude in Inkwell, Joe Morton in Inkwell. And then that wouldn't have been black enough. I mean, a nigga, that shit ain't even actually from Africa, though. He bought that shit from a corner store in New York. That ain't black. Somebody would have did that shit. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and Barack had.
Meanwhile, that thing that they're looking for, you can't even find in Africa because it's like Chinese food in America. Exactly. Like, let's go over to China and look for some egg foo young. You're not finding it, bro.
You're not finding
it. It's not there.
Doesn't exist.
This is not
some shit for us.
That Domino's, you ain't gonna find that in Italy. They ain't eating Domino's in Italy. I'm telling you that much right now.
Oh, no, piss off.
That's Italian food to you, though.
So, yeah, let's go on and jump into it. I just want to get that off with that Monique thing, man.
I hear you, man.
Come on, man. And especially as a content creator, like, you have to know your worth, no doubt, and you push that. You keep pushing that agenda, but I think there's a way you kind of finesse the game, especially when you black.
Well, I think you also got to know about how to build your worth to the place that you want for it to get to.
Like, LeVar Ball can do that fly shit right now because he built up the shit.
Yeah, he built up his hype, and now he's got the platform to do it. And in some regards, he's done that. All he's really done is just brought the Kardashian model to sports. Yeah, you know, I mean, and that's.
But that's also a trippy scale too, though, because that's a long way to fall down too. You gotta constantly be on top.
Yeah, you gotta work hard.
You ball and you can't make no calls to nobody for no hookups and nothing, because everybody will, why ain't fucking with you? You LeVar Ball, you out here jumping out the window.
You gotta make your own way and hold your own way if you do that. But so yeah, with it being Grammys, not Grammy, with it being Oscar season, announcements have come out and everything. You know, we've talked about Get Out, and you know, about how that's going to, our thoughts about that and where that's at. And we'll touch on Get Out again, but I wanted to talk about just the year in blackness in film, in TV, in whatever, in that way. So we're just going to throw a couple of titles or some things out. Some of them we both seen, some of them that only one of us has seen, you know, just some thoughts about it. And then at the end, we're going to pick a best program and a best picture of the year. In blackness.
So the definitive black picture.
We're going to dip that Academy Award in some chocolate.
No, we're going to dip that Academy Award in some Jerry Curl juice. Like that Black People Award. Remember on Living Color? The Black People should.
I want to give an honorary award to whatever that TV channel is that's out now that just plays In Living Color marathons on
that's,
it.
Aspects. It's like APX.
Something like that.
Or Aspire.
Aspire. Yeah, shout out to them. Aspire. They stepped up this year.
They found a market.
Shout out to them. Shout out to Hulu for bringing Living Single to Hulu. Mm-hmm. Aspire had Living Single on there too. Like, keep them going. Like, I need some more. I need like
270 on TV1.
I need just this channel. I need like a throwback black channel. That's it. Well, I guess that kind of.
They got that Netflix version of it.
Yeah.
That's true.
I want it to be on streaming TV. Yeah. I asked streaming TV. I just wanted that to be like TV. Whether it's an analog channel or a cable channel.
Set me up like a real, like, I'm talking about, literally just make an all black station where, and you give me like sitcom times like it's back in the day.
Yeah.
Like, I got Family Matters, then next I got Fresh Prince of Bel-Air at 7:30.
I want, yeah, exactly.
You ain't
got
to do marathon.
They got Nick at night. Give me Nick after midnight. I don't want Nick after midnight. I want it to be real black. I want it to be dark as hell on that channel. I only want to see so many light-skinned people a day. I want That's it to real. Be so black. But no. So yeah, we're
gonna be the movie tonight. The black movie of the night at 8.
Yeah, give me that. I want you to turn on Holiday Heart. It could be Holiday Heart for all I care. I just want it to be a black movie. Let's go. But so we're gonna do a program of the year. Well, that'll count everything on TV and then on Netflix too. Because I'll count Netflix even as a movie. I'll count it as TV because it's a TV.
You're not going out paying for them ticket.
Right, exactly. And then we'll do films as well. So let's start with the TV side. Let's start with back in January with the New Edition story.
The best way to year start off a year kept us away from the Trump situation.
Mm-hmm.
Black people stuck to a two nights? Three nights?
Three nights.
Crazy. 6 hours. And now they're doing a Bobby Brown movie.
Oh, it's going to be a standalone about Bobby?
But same characters. Just going to be like an adjacent. So everybody from that sliding over to the Bobby Brown story.
Oh, that's cool.
Same dude playing Bobby Brown's playing that. They just going, you know, new addition to being there, a little bit of them same guys. But it'll be just focused on Bobby Brown's side.
So these guys are like making a career of being New Edition. You know, and here's the thing I thought, and that's cool. A lot of times you don't get to see people tell their own story.
They did, and then there's some random stuff. Or
yeah, like you'll get somebody, it'll be not so much of an autobiography as it is a biography.
Yeah.
Or it's something that comes after the fact. But, you know, I mean, New Edition had their hands on this, you know. Mm-hmm. So you got some of those tough truths. You got some of those highlights and some of the things you got to see
Ricky
inside
Bell going
of.
Coke, that was the killer.
No, I didn't see any of that. Ricky Bell had it hard. Like, you know, they didn't go all the way into Bobby. Bobby's going to have it.
Oh, that's why you got to do your own movie. Yeah. You can see how they were setting up. Bobby needs his own movie.
Yeah, like Bobby was in and out. And like that movie was more about Mike Bivens and Ralph Tresvant than it was about anybody else. Like,
yeah.
That was kind of where it leaned at.
Then I would not mind seeing a Johnny Gill story, too, though. Have Eddie Murphy in there.
Yeah, John. Oh, man.
Man, that was wrong, man. I fuck with Eddie Murphy. Oh, that's a whole other thing I want to talk. I do think we need to do an Eddie Murphy appreciation episode.
I would love to do that. That'd
because
be great.
My wife was talking about it.
Give me an excuse to watch Eddie Murphy stuff.
No, because I was watching Beverly Hills Cop 2 the other night, and I was like, you know, he's the first big black movie star. Money-wise, everything.
Well, Sidney Poitier.
No, not much more big, where it's like the mega big
you're talking movies. About. You're talking about like in the modern, like huge.
Yeah, because the first black person to make big money is Richard Pryor, though. Because he got a $25 million contract for like 4 or 5 movies in like the late 70s, early 80s. He got the first big money.
Jerry Seinfeld was talking about Richard Pryor's career on his show, Comedians in Car Getting Coffee. And they're talking about how Richard Pryor's career on film kind of took a turn where it didn't get to be like the level like it should have been.
No.
And kind of, it's funny you bring that up because it kind of ties me into something from New Edition story where I looked at it and I was like, man, is Ralph Tresvant like one of those like number one overall picks who just never quite turned out like he was supposed to?
He's Eddie Curry.
Like
he's Eddie Curry.
Eddie Curry's 2. I'm talking about the 1. Kwame Brown was the 1 in that draft.
The what? Eddie Curry won 1 in that draft?
No, he was 2.
Okay.
He went to the Bulls. Kwame Brown was 1 to the Wizards. Okay. Right. But like, really, everything was set up for Ralph Tresvant to be a megastar.
But he took too long though, too.
Yeah, he didn't. His timing was bad.
His timing was
but
bad.
But he was too allegiant to New Edition.
No. I'm talking about even when everyone split up, he took too long to come out after then.
Well, that's what I mean. But like, he could have, even when the band was at its height, he could have left when Bobby left.
Yeah.
And like, went out. And,
because what Johnny was supposed to just replace Ralph. They was going to do a 4-man group.
Right.
They thought Ralph was going to leave. That's why they brought Johnny in.
Right.
And they was like, well, that's why they ended up back to 5 because Ralph came back.
Right, exactly. Because they were a 4-man group with Ralph and Bill Biv DeVoe for a second. They did an album with just the 4 of them.
No, they did. They did do that. It was that throwback album.
Yeah, it was like
that covers album.
Yeah, it wasn't like a
that song Earth Angel and all that stuff was on there. Where they did covers of doo-wop songs.
Yeah, and it was kind of like, we need another player in here. But that was a dope movie though, man. And it was really cool to see how they played that out. And it's like a modern, it's like some of the movies that they made in light of like what I think that a Straight Outta Compton didn't quite hit the way that they should have hit. But you had that movie that being a TV movie, and that should have been a TV movie, a TV film as opposed to a theater film. New Edition.
It gave more latitude.
Yeah, it was like the perfect timing for it. It was it was dope. It was. I think it probably broke out to be on like
leaving the crib. It was cold.
Well, it also led to like that New Edition Renaissance too, where like everybody had all eyes on New Edition in like January, February, which is good for them because them dudes lost a lot of money. Like they missed a lot of dollars. They made a lot of money for a lot of other people that never came back around, So.
Mike Bibbins didn't.
He made his back.
Yeah.
Mike
Bibbins. He's probably got the most paper out of all of them. I'm assuming.
They said Mike worth about $40
million. Oh, shit. They probably all ain't worth $40 million combined.
Probably not now with Bobby burning through his money. Bobby, they like they said in the thing, they said Mike and Bobby good. Bobby's publishing. Bobby's
publishing is ridiculous.
Yeah, Bobby's making money off his stuff hand over fist. But he got a deal that was done the right way, though. But the rest of them kind of, had to pick up the pieces and get it back together. But they all supposed to be doing good now.
What about Johnny, though? You think Johnny's...
Yeah, I think Johnny's doing good. Yeah. I looked up his net worth. It says his net worth's about $15 million.
But Mike's worth the most out of all of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
because he got Boys and Men.
He did the right thing, though, man. He got into the business side of it because nobody was taking care of their business. And what Mike Bibbins tried to do
I'm going to do it myself.
He said, I'm going to try to take care of this business. But he wasn't, he wasn't doing it. He was kind of throwing it at cats, however. So... New Edition story definitely is a candidate for me for what's going to be happening here. Next, move on to Power.
Power is good, man. I mean, I just don't take it seriously anymore.
It's become a straight out phenomenon, though. It's like been crazy to see what Power has become.
Power is, and it's had that upwards tick too. I remember when that first, because I think I didn't get into Power until season 2.
Yeah,
and I went back and watched season 1. And I was like, oh, shit. And then I remember, I don't think that many people was on season 2 as much. I think towards the end of season 2, people got on to the Power Band. And then season 3, it just went to the next level. And then season 4, just everybody is just...
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, gone.
Yeah, it became like a phenomenon.
Yeah.
Like, something like Black Sopranos or something.
Yeah, exactly. At this point. But it's not serious. Like, I think the writing's bad on it. It doesn't make sense writing-wise, but it's fun.
Well, but it did take some twists this year, I think, that I didn't see it do in season 3,
with the daughter dying and all that shit.
Yeah, with the daughter dying.
That was ambitious to do that. Like, that's some...
And with 50 coming around, and even the idea to put James in jail, you know what I mean? Like, Hey,
your main character.
Yeah, you putting your main character into a die. I mean, we all knew he was going to get out, you know what I'm saying? But, I mean, it's still putting him into at least a unique situation.
And you're taking his latitude out to be in different sets, and you just kind of limited that character.
Oh, yeah. And it was dope to see Charlie Murphy in that last role kind of have that, that type of, because he was a different type of cat than he had been in anything else.
Yeah,
that, so.
he was a bitch.
I'm interested to see what Powers at. I think Powers kind of hit its peak. You know, like everything from this point on is kind of going to trickle down, but you know, it's there and it's got another couple years in this run, I think. On the third one, show I loved. That might have been my favorite show that kind of came out of nowhere this year, Snowfall.
Snowfall's good, man.
Snowfall was dope. And for anybody needs to know, that's on FX.
Mm-hmm.
It got renewed for a second season, so I might even get a longer run.
Yeah, because it's going with
10. Yeah, it was 10 episodes. 10
one, yeah.
But yeah, man, it's about the rise of the cocaine epidemic in L.A. And it was, you know, it's about following one kid who's kind of trying to make his way out there and really showing how the game can kind of one step, next step, next step. Like, I feel
then you're a fucking drug kingpin.
Right, and now he's already leading the set. Like, you already see it. Like, he's ahead of the set already, and he's 20. You know,
19,
at the most,
at
the most 20. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
But it seemed like he was like a homegirl.
He was
like
just coming out of high school.
Yeah, it seemed like he was a freshman because those people were those friends he had at the initial party. They seemed like they had just graduated, kind of
Yeah, because he's hollering at old girl that was still in school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because she was like a year below him, maybe or something.
Right. So it kind of shows how that works out. But Snowfall's dope, man.
Snowfall's dope.
Go. Yeah. I think it's on Hulu.
It's on Hulu and it's on demand on FX too.
Okay. Well, yeah. Check that. I'm. That's the show that I'm looking at that I got a lot of hope for. Like, what happens with it next? Like,
another one is The Chi that started this year.
Okay, and I didn't see that.
It's the best pilot I've ever seen.
Dope.
Behind the Waters pilot.
Wow, best pilot.
And pilots are bad normally.
Yeah, pilots usually aren't.
Yo, pilot right out the box.
What channel is that?
Showtime.
Okay. It just started.
It's episode 4 is this weekend.
Okay.
This Sunday. So that's literally, you could catch up pretty fast.
Yeah, I got to catch up on
it's
some
good,
stuff.
It's good, man. It's Lena Waithe is the producer and writer of it.
Okay.
From Masters of None.
Okay. Yeah, and that's my favorite show on TV.
Yeah,
Master of None is phenomenal. Yeah, that's dope to hear. I'll have to check that out. So
she wrote the whole show, and you know, because she wrote the Thanksgiving episode.
Yeah, that was a great episode. Yeah, that was a great episode. Shout out to Master of None, man. Like, I feel like not enough people would watch that, and like, I think I relate to that show in a weird way more than like any other show on TV. Like, it's like, it's great. Like, it's Aziz, man. Aziz deserved that Golden Globe. You got for that for sure. Next, we go to a special, Def Jam 25.
It was good, man.
Dave Chappelle and D.L. Hewley's
were just up there, just
15-minute rift where they was just like, that's the funniest thing I've seen on TV in a long ass time. Because they was just up there talking, like,
they ain't give us no script,
roasting on each other, talking about the everybody in the crowd, talking about the fact they can't read on there. But it was like just dope to see all those people show up. Mm-hmm. One thing I wish would have happened, I wish Martin would have hosted it. Like, Martin was just there.
Martin is real trying to be on some Eddie Murphy shit.
Yeah, but he ain't Eddie Murphy, though.
I know, but you could tell he's trying to be like, I don't like doing shit type shit.
Yeah, like, I mean, his money good, so he ain't worried about nothing. Like, he's perfect. Set up. I mean,
I wish they would have had him on there a little bit more.
Like, yeah. Like, I mean, he went up on stage and kind of did his thing for a second. I just wish it would have had that dope feeling. Like, if he was walking out, Kid Capri was back there doing his thing. Like, that would have felt like Def Comedy Jam.
A part of me wanted it to be a full-on documentary, though, too.
Like, a thing about how the show came together?
Yeah, in personal stories, like, where Martin would be talking and be like, oh, yeah, man, I remember when I first showed up on the set, man. You know, like, how they do a show, the vignettes of different people talking about different things that happened. And, man, it was a crazy crowd, another thing I think they did a little bit, but like all the crazy ass people that was in the crowd, like artists that was in the crowd. I remember it was an episode with Joe Torre and Onyx. Do you remember that?
Joe Torre
was clowning them and they was in the thing and he didn't know it was Onyx though.
Yeah.
He's like, who is these niggas sitting over there with hoods and stuff?
Yeah.
And then the niggas, Sticky, you know, that fucked up eye and shit, like. And he's like, oh shit. And then somebody said, that's Onyx. You know, niggas just yell up at the stage at Def Jam. Yeah. That's Onyx. Oh shit, that's Onyx? Oh shit, y'all them slam niggas. Like, and then you got the, and I remember an episode with Redman on there, and I'm like, yo, they just don't understand it. Because Redman was real low key then. I'm like, y'all don't understand. That motherfucker was snap on you, though. And they was trying to clown Redman.
Yeah.
Martin was. And I was
like, he gonna get you.
And he was looking, and I was like, he ain't got his cheat yet with Method Man to get his powers combined.
Yeah.
Come back in 4 years later, I bet you won't say that same stuff to Red Man.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You ain't going to do that now. You're going to sit there and be humble, and yeah, exactly. Red Man going to burn your ass if you did that. But Death Down 25 was dope to see. It was just like a reminder of like just how crazy that show, how crazy influential that show mm-hmm. was. And like
on black everything comedy overall,
that's there. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a pinnacle.
It's to right now, even. Black comedy is the comedy gem even now.
Oh, yeah. The legacy of that show is still going on, and even just for the people that have grown off of it and stuff like that. Like, I know they brought back like the Def Comedy Jam, like the little newer
yeah,
one they're doing.
Javon trying to get on there. He hoped that he wanted to pray for Russell Simmons.
Yeah,
he wants all to pray for Russell Simmons. Remember, don't forget, Javon wants to remind everybody to pray for Russell Simmons.
Pray for Javon.
Try to go on next season.
Pray for Russell Simmons via. Pray for Javon via praying for Russell Simmons. Yeah. That could be a big play for him. All right, but yeah, I love that. And you know, Netflix came with it on that. Netflix also came with it with being able to get Dave Chappelle back up on the stage that many times, and like just. Showing just how he's just mastered the art of stand-up, which he reminded us at the beginning of the
with the brand new stand-up.
Yeah.
You know, which the new one, did that count for this year?
It was New Year's Eve.
So it counts for last year. So, think that, which one do you like better, the first one or the second one for the Dave joint?
You mean the first one that dropped?
The second one.
I like the very first one, and I like the most recent one the most. I don't know. I need to watch the both of them again to like pick a favorite.
Well, no, I mean for that second set of ones, which comedy stand-up did you like better?
See, I think I'm looking at it differently than you, because I know he dropped
it's four of them.
He dropped one and two, but one of them came out way before that one though.
No, like, two of them, both of them, the two different drops. The first one dropped was two of them.
Yeah.
And then the second drop was two.
No, the second drop was only one.
No, it's two. You didn't look on there. It's the second part. That's another episode.
Oh, okay.
That's why I was...
Maybe I watched it then. I'm just not looking at it separately.
Yeah, it's two different ones. One where he's got the small, intimate setting.
Yeah.
That's another... You didn't see that one?
No, I did. I'm just thinking about it.
Yeah, but that's two different...
Okay.
Two different
I think it is one and one. Because they're the same thing.
Oh,
I'm just saying. I'm taking the whole thing and looking at the whole
part. I'm separating them as four standings.
Yeah, no. I'm taking them as just different... As shows. They're just together. So that's what I mean.
And the brilliance of Dave Chappelle, though, and that even though the final one of that second one, the second set... wasn't as funny as that first set of the New Year's Eve would drop, but that story and the way he dropped and why he left the game,
mm-hmm.
fucking ingenious.
Oh, man.
It was the smartest joke and way to like explain to somebody for they can be like, all right, man.
Well, I love the one where he's talking about kicking him in the pussy.
Yeah.
And he just set it up. He said, I'm gonna tell you where this is gonna end up.
We gonna say the story. We're
guess
gonna see
what?
We get there.
He's a brilliant. I mean, he showed his brilliance. He's the foremost comedian of this generation. He just absolutely is, and it's crazy. Next one. I don't know if you saw this one, Burning Sands on Netflix.
Yeah. We talked about it a little bit. Remember?
Before with
Doug. But that this is off air, people. This is when we was at Burning.
Yeah. I remember. That was ambitious. Put it that way.
Now we didn't finish talking. We kind of started and then Doug. I want to talk about.
Yeah.
I
see what they were. A lot of people were saying, oh, they're betraying, putting stuff out there, doing that. For me, it was a little televised. It was a little bit sensationalized for TV.
Yeah, it was like over the top.
Like, it's weird to say that there's things that are way more over the top than what happened on that show. But also,
a lot of things that are way more subtle.
Things that are just wouldn't happen the way that they did. But, mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't, like, look at it, like, if I was a person that hadn't experienced that and be like, oh, well, damn, that's what it is, because it's not that. But it's, you know, they took on and they did it. It's an interesting thing to put out right now, though, in light of how many fraternities, black fraternities and sororities are in trouble for things like that. You know, like the amount and the dollars of lawsuits that are hanging out over these organizations and how much on a thread because people talk too much about things they shouldn't talk about and do things in a lot of regards that they shouldn't do. Have these organizations that serve a really big, important purpose in my mind in the black, you know, culture in trouble because of it. And making that movie is irresponsible to me, you know. But I mean, it's entertainment. It's the type of thing that draws eyes to it. So I see why it happened.
Do you think, and this is shout out to Teddy. He believes that all Greek stuff is going to be done for 40 to 50 years. He says
it might not take that long.
Well, he said the max of that, but he said the reason he said because the quality of people that they have, the organizations have to let in now is not the same quality that was in the past, or that he's even seen. He said he'd be seeing cats, he'd be like, yo, How you get it? Like,
they are, but also the leaning of the fraternities and sororities towards caring more about a dollar than the quality of the person.
Just to have a number.
Yeah, it lends to that. You know, there are companies, these are not non-for-profit companies. You know,
yeah.
I mean, these are corporations.
Yeah.
You know, what's the goal of a corporation?
To
make a profit. You know, so, I mean, it's that costs an incredible amount of money to get in. And you've got people that, you know, they're protecting the dollar as opposed to protecting the tradition. And that's happening. And I think that things like that movie are indicator of why.
Do you think that movie affected anything, or entertainment?
I think it impacts the image some. You know, I don't think it was an important enough movie to, you know, cause any damage or, you know, change any opinion or anything. I mean, I wouldn't be a person that was 18 years old, look at that and believe it. You know, you shouldn't believe it. I mean, I can't speak for what's happening in every campus and around America, but it just, and granted, I mean, I crossed 13 years ago and things were much different than they are now, you know, but I mean, it's, you know, I mean, it still just isn't the same thing. So,
yeah.
But you know, I mean, it was I still am waiting to see what Black Greek life is be captured the right way. I still think that.
What's the closest one you think it is that has been portrayed and shown it? Stomp the Yard type shit?
No.
School Days?
Yeah, school. I mean, for that era, for school days. Mine was nothing like that.
Right. But,
for the people of that time period, yeah. I mean, I know people that are of that time period.
That kind of gets closest,
I think, because you didn't have all the concerns back then when you made that movie that you have now. I mean, it'd be a crime drama to make a movie about Black Greek life now. You know, it'd be a crime drama / comedy. It would fall into that genre that I think Get Out's got to encompass.
And you don't know what the place it has.
Yeah, there's nothing to call it. It's a lot of different things. It's a crime drama. It's a romance in some cases. It's all sorts of things. It's a sitcom. It's a lot of different shit. But so moving on next, taking the movies on Netflix, Bright with Will Smith.
The most watched movie on Netflix, you know that, right?
When I saw that Will Smith was making a movie, it's like, oh great, when's it coming out? Oh, it's on Netflix. It's on my TV right now. Like, I'm still not used to Netflix having these major drops and like these $20 million film stars like Will Smith being on there.
They signed Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle to like $20-30 million each.
And Adam Sandler got ignorant money from Netflix.
Yeah, he was the first one to get the big bag.
Yeah, he was the one
that got the big bag. He opened it up for everybody. Like, yeah. Oh, they're giving them big bags over here. People were like, this little Netflix, whatever. Adam Sandler was like, I'm going to make 4 bullshit movies for them and cut this check for $100 million.
Yes.
And these going to be some real bullshit movies.
He's got 12 movies. He's got like 12 movies on there.
Yeah, I'm saying, but they ain't all bullshit movies.
Matter. He's just like, when Prince was getting them checks from Warner. Like, he's just like, give me this money. I'll just take it.
Stick y'all up.
Here's 5 albums at once. Figure out what you want to do with it.
Whenever you want to come out with them.
I didn't see Bright yet, though. I haven't seen it yet.
It's okay. It's okay.
Okay. So
it's not as bad as people are saying it is, and it's not good either.
Okay.
So it's like...
Is it outside Will Smith's top 10?
Yeah. Not even thinking, I would say yeah.
Okay.
Right. It's not even me really.
It's something. It's something, though. It's something is out there.
It's better than Legend of Bagger Vance, though.
Okay. Well, it's one of the most magical Negroes of all time.
I think it actually probably started the... I think that's what got Spike Lee to...
Well, the first magical Negro was
they caught Michael Clark Duncan in Green
Mile. I would go even further back to say that it was James Earl Jones in Field of Dreams. Because he walked into a cornfield and disappeared.
Yeah, but I don't know if that don't constitute the national magical Negro. It's like 5 different points to be considered a magical Negro.
That's true. There is a scorecard.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's Michael Clark Duncan in Green Mile.
Well, he did grab a man's balls and heal him.
Yeah, because the thing that will take away, I know off the top of Field of Dreams is that the black person gains nothing.
He got into heaven. Right. He got his peace.
He gained something.
Oh, that's so, oh,
and the
usually,
magical Negro is the point that they don't gain anything from the situation but helping out the white person.
That's true.
That's why. That's what the magical Negro is like. With Legend of Bagger Vance, the black dude just disappears and goes away, and it.
Hey, speaking of magical Negroes, real quick, a quick addendum here. Is Mace Windu a magical Negro?
No.
Okay.
No.
Did Anakin Skywalker become a magical Negro?
No.
Okay.
Because he's right. Killing people.
With all right. Cool.
Like, it's like basically a magical Negro is someone that's just at the service of the white lead.
That's a great segue. That's a great segue to the next topic on this, which is Luke Cage, who has nothing to do with helping white people at all.
Shout out to Black Lightning, too, though. Have you watched
it? I haven't watched it yet. Yeah. I haven't watched it yet.
It's the DC version of Luke Cage. Yes.
That's great. I need to check it out.
It actually may be even great.
Watching the WB, CW is kind of difficult for me. Like, I need to get a channel where I can watch it.
The CW app is horrible.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It's choppy. How's your shit choppy on? And you think it's your internet and shit. You like, damn.
Yeah, no, it's bad. Like, I have to wait. It'll be on Netflix one day. I'll watch it.
It's only 10 episodes.
Well, I probably could watch it on. I just don't watch anything on time. Like, I don't watch anything when it comes on TV.
I don't think anybody does.
Like, the only thing I do that for, pay-per-view stuff I do sometimes, like a fight or something I pay for.
What you pay for.
Exactly. Right. Goddamn right. You goddamn right. I did. But Luke Cage was great to me. I loved it. I loved every second of it.
It's the best first six episodes of any of the Marvel thing. I think the last six episodes felt dead. When they killed Cottonmouth, it kind of...
Yeah, it did too much. It got too ambitious for me, too.
And I don't
quick.
Know if they thought... I think they didn't know that Cottonmouth was going to be that good.
Yeah.
And like, when they wrote it, and then Mahershala Ali came in and killed it.
Yeah.
And it probably was in the middle of production. Like, fuck, dude.
They should have put the whole dude in the Cobra suit off to the next season or like did something like.
You should have had Mahershala Ali do all that stuff.
Yeah, true. I'm glad he wasn't in that costume though. I hated that costume that the dude showed up in.
Talking about at the end where he fought him.
Yeah, I hated that.
That was ugly.
I guess we can get Luke Cage some props for the Defenders too. He was in there as well.
Yeah, Defenders was just okay, but that was a bad taste from Iron Fist lingering.
Yeah, I mean Daredevil. I'm always happy to see Daredevil. Yeah. Jessica Jones is. Phenomenal too. Yeah. But Luke Cage was awesome.
And then the Punisher, shit. Oh, yeah. You might as well call that a black show.
It's a black something. But Luke Cage was great, and I really enjoyed
Shut
that. Like
Netflix.
It was like it was just like refreshing. Like mm-hmm. It was so much for the culture. Super. Like it was like it was like a
were names of, it was like a, songs,
right. Know? Yeah. It was like a Nas album, superhero form. Like it was just
that's
like
the, Nas, I think his album is the album they're going to use for all the titles for the new season coming up.
Okay, when does the new year? When does the new season come out? Mid like summer again?
No, coming up soon, March.
Oh, really?
Somewhere,
oh,
yeah.
Dope. That's what's up.
Yeah.
The bridge work. Well, I can't ever say Netflix shows are bridges because I just sit there and watch them all in one weekend and then I'm done with it. It's just like watching a really long movie that takes away 10 more hours of my weekend from me. But I'll do it for Luke Cage. That was dope. Next, She's Gotta Have It.
I thought it was dope.
Yeah.
I thought it was dope. I know some people had some issues with it just because maybe some of the imagery and things like that. Like, me and Teddy had a big argument because I told him that then he thought that was supposed to be a real burlesque show. No, it's a motif for a strip club, but he's just making fun of being at the strip club.
Okay. It's still in my queue.
Oh, you haven't watched it?
It's still, you can talk about
oh,
it.
Oh, okay.
I'm still in my queue.
But when you see it, it's this burlesque thing, but they basically make the strip club into like a burlesque situation where people kicking it.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it's women and men in there, men throwing, but the thing to tip off is people are throwing money on the stage.
It just sounds like Atlanta to me.
Yeah, basically.
the real life Atlanta,
yeah,
not
exactly,
the TV
real
show.
Yeah, exactly, not the TV show, right. And, like, you know, there's some stuff that happened. I won't spoil it if anybody hasn't seen it, but there's some, you know, things that happen in there. And you're like, oh, like, this girl gets butt shots. So, obviously, she getting the butt shots because she wants to be more attractive for the strip club.
Mm-hmm.
But he just made it funny and made it different because it's funny. It's like a big production. Like, when you see it, you'll be like, this is hilariously silly. Like, it's a big production because the strip club is... People act like it's a big production being in a strip club.
Yeah.
You know, chicks climbing to a pole that's fucking 1,000 feet and they're doing a trick and doing P.T. Barnum and Bailey shit, you know, the whole time. Like, it was good, man. I fucked with that, man. That was good, man.
I appreciate that initiative to keep those shows popping up on there like that. Like, that's a place to go to for it. I always wonder if, like, when you have shows like that, like, they're... Part of like the Golden Globes now, if like streaming will get to a point where like it has like its own complete separate genre. You know, because
like
some
streaming,
of the
best streaming
like
movie.
Some different genre like that. Like it's interesting like that. Next thing, Queen Sugar.
Queen Sugar's good, man.
I like what this show's about, yeah. Man. Like it's, I'm really encouraged by that show because like it shows the potential of Oprah's network to succeed. You know, and it's a really great platform that you're not going to... You could catch that show on another channel, but I think that the hand that Oprah's network gives to it lends it to be more in depth. I feel like they give it more quality and more time
mm-hmm.
and the type of stage that it wouldn't get on a regular network station, and I think would be undersold if it was on like the CW or something like that.
Yeah, because it's it has that, like you said, that attention with, and it's just a quality show. The way that people are, the like the dark people are dark, and there's a lot of more dark complected people on the show, and the way it's shot, it makes them look beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's just a dope show, and it's a great like general drama. It's not like based in like a stereotypical kind of situations that dramas are. It's just a black family trying to make it and come together and do some dope shit, and you know, on their thing. Another show on there we didn't mention that that's another open show is Greenleaf. You haven't seen that, man.
No, yeah.
It's good, man. It's basically like Queen. It's like a soap opera in a church, but not like overly, like not over the top.
Mm.
Like, have you heard of that soap opera show? This church show is basically like a knockoff of Greenleaf called Saints and Sinners.
I think I've heard of that.
Yeah, it's like a knockoff version. It's like the hood version of it. It'd be like the hood version of it, and it's fine. It's not as good, but it's like ridiculously funny to me because it's like that over the top, like, he had a gun too, and she's pregnant? Like, it's like that type of shit that happens on Saints and Sinners, like that soap opery, like super soap opery, like, she was pregnant the whole time? Damn. Like, that type of shit. But Greenleaf is good, man. It stars Lynn Whitfield and everybody's favorite Keith David. Is the main character in it, the main pastor in it, and Lynn Whitfield is his wife.
That's a good start.
That's what I said. You there? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And Rick Fox is on there too. He's a star on there.
He Slick plays, Rocks.
Like, yeah, Rick Fox has found a way to stay alive.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Rick Fox is here. Rick Fox.
He's a part of our lexicon until he dies.
Oh yeah, yeah. Rick Fox is one of them cats. You like Rick Fox used to hoop.
Yeah.
Rick Fox is
like too. Just like before our last episode, we talked about
Colin Cameron.
And like,
which is still a little bit of a that I'm gonna feel like slapping somebody when they say that. But I've watched
it.
I've watched it happen. The place that the 2000 Lakers team has gone to is very interesting. Shaq is a multimedia mogul. Kobe is Kobe. He's a basketball legend. That's what he's supposed to be.
And a venture capitalist now.
Right. Derek Fisher is
Mr. Steal Your Girl.
Is Mr. Steal Your Girl and was on Dancing with the Stars. You got Rick Fox everywhere. Rick Fox is like trying to become like the BET Shamar Moore. And like, so like, it's like real, it's like, it's all over the place.
Where's Glenn Rice here?
Glenn Rice got that paper. He ain't tripping.
He's sitting there. He's chilling.
Tyronn Lue's the coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers for now.
Ryan Shaw just got. He was a coach briefly for a minute.
Yeah, he's been coached for a while. Yeah.
Not small. He was. He got fired though from Denver, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, I'm just talking about like as an assistant. Like,
yeah. You know. Yeah. But I'm saying he was a head coach for a while.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who else was on that squad that would be mentionable. Yeah, that's all I can think of.
Right? All right. Next up.
Odom is just getting out of rehab. Oh,
God, yeah, permanently. Anytime you listen to this, that just happened.
Yeah. like he got out of rehab.
All right, so let's go to this Blackish/Grownish. Have you seen Grownish?
Grownish is fucking good.
It is, right?
It's fucking good, dude.
It is, right?
I even like the fucking entry song, the little girly cutie entry song.
I like that. They did. That was a good pilot. That was a really good pilot. That was an effective pilot.
And I like the way that they did this aptly kind of twist with it. Have you seen the last couple episodes?
No, I saw the first two. I think I'm one
so
or two.
So you didn't see the one where she's been tutoring the basketball player, dude?
No.
Okay. Well, is they basically show how schools are pimping athletes, though, like on that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they basically, like, the school is like, yeah, you don't have to tutor him no more because we're going to try to kick him out, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But then he start balling and he's like, you're not tutoring him? Like,
right. Exactly.
What has his grades?
Like, exactly. We need him to have his numbers now.
Exactly.
Because he's making us numbers.
Exactly.
But Blackish is always there. You know, Blackish is
maybe
like
got better.
Yeah, Blackish has got better because I wasn't huge on it at first.
I was very trepid of it at first.
Mm-hmm. But
like,
I mean,
that first episode, I was like, that pilot wasn't good.
It's made Anthony Anderson and Tracy Ellis Ross though stars. Like, it's made them big time stars. Like, they're like, Blackish is like on that tier with Modern Family as far as network power shows go. Like, it's there.
Maybe more than Modern Family.
Well, Modern Family makes Steinfeld money, though.
Yeah, so but I'm saying, but, well, I was saying Modern Family hasn't split off into their own
yeah, kind of, like Modern like, Family.
Universe.
Yeah,
Modern. Like, Ronan has got their own, like, Black has got their own universe now.
Right.
Because like, they're talking about doing a spinoff with her brother.
Mm-hmm.
The dude from Hamilton.
Yeah.
When it plays her brother, they wanted to do like a spinoff with her sister.
Hey, shout out to Hamilton for 2017, too.
Yeah, man.
Like, the fact that that's touring now and like, just shout out to Hamilton, man. Like, that's...
Even though we don't get to see none of the real people that was in it, they're all in. It's like, I'm gonna cut me a check doing something else.
Yeah, well, hey.
And I ain't had them at all.
No, absolutely not.
Why would I stand and go on the road for to Little Rock, Arkansas?
Are they gonna... They're still doing the original show, though.
No.
So, like, they've...
It's traveling.
They've... Well, I mean, but, like, you could go to Broadway for the original one, or they just...
No, it's over. It's another show on Broadway now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, it's another show on Broadway. Like, and, like, that whole original cast, none of them are in the touring joint.
Okay.
This is kind of how, like, when they did, like, Color Purple and, like, Lion King, like, the original people... Like, yo, I'm staying in New York. That's what I'm, you know, kind
of
do.
That's how it was with Phantom of the Opera. Phantom of the Opera's the longest playing show ever. But they've got... It changed cast goes everywhere. Yeah. Dear White People.
Dope, man. It was good. If you've seen the movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was just basically an extension of the movie. But the thing that was dope about Dear White People, the TV show, every episode is from a different character's perspective of the same thing that happened. So you got one episode with, like, the dude that's preppy, that's the dad's the chancellor. One with our main character, the sister that's the super black. One from her white boyfriend's perspective. One from the black girl, Coloco, whatever it is, the one that's, you know, kind of trying to buy into the game. Like, all these different people's perspectives. And they redid Scandal, too. It's called, I forgot what it's called. But they redid Scandal, and everybody watches it, like, in the thing, like, it's the big deal. Like, hey, man, I can't study, man. I got to go watch. I forgot what it's called. It's not Insecure. It's something along those lines. But they, it's like, they, and they show it. And it's what you call it. I forgot. It's two, like, real, like big actors.
Mm-hmm.
And they just play the little TV part of the show.
It's like what they did on Insecure.
Yeah, exactly. With, but they but they did the same thing with...
Dear White People.
Yeah, Dear White People, yeah. But it's good, man. That was a good one. That's coming back for season two, too.
That's good. That's good.
So, like, man, black people have been doing well on TV, man.
Well, yeah, it's been a great... Like, there's a lot of good things happening at once. Like, there's a lot of stuff out there to, like, watch that can hit everybody's different niche. Survivor's Remorse. It's ended. You know.
Man, that was bad. That was a good fucking show, dude.
Yeah, I think it was like a show that was just kind of hitting its run, too.
Like, yeah, man.
Nothing's ever dead, though, in this day and age.
You know what? You're right.
Nothing's ever dead.
You know, I heard they bring back Murphy Brown now.
Yeah, I heard that. They bring back Roseanne and Murphy Brown. Yeah,
and they just brought back Will and Grace already.
Mm-hmm. Remember, everybody thought that the Mindy Kaling show was going to be dead, and Netflix not only started it up again, they revamped it, new episodes, everything. Arrested Development. They're trying to get another season of Arrested Development to happen too.
Wow.
You know, Arrested Development is one of the funniest shows.
They got Sister coming back.
Ever, yeah. Like, I'm sometimes a little, you know, The Game came back on BET, you know, but I'm a little trepidatious of too many things coming back to life.
Like Murphy Brown, I don't know. About
I don't
that.
Know why that's happening, but
yeah,
I mean, whatever. I guess bring back Miami Vice next. Like, I don't know, but
now I might be in for that.
They tried as long as it's nothing like that movie.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about bringing back Don Johnson and
Philip Michael Thomas.
Philip Michael Thomas.
Yeah, maybe. And Survivor's Remorse
is the old captain's, like, basically like a...
Like Lethal Weapon?
But you know, they got that Lethal Weapon TV show supposed to be people watching that
shit. Yeah, I heard that.
I thought it was... I saw it, I was like, nobody's gonna watch this shit, and I kept it moving. I see you got season two.
I haven't watched a show on Fox in a while. It's been a little while.
That's another thing,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's been a little while since I did that. Survivor's Remorse, though, I think that's a show that was just hitting its stride.
Yeah, man.
There was another city. Stars doesn't have great show judgment, I don't think, because they also canceled that show with Kelsey Grammer.
Oh, they did. I forgot the name of it.
He was the mayor of Chicago.
Mayor of Chicago.
And that was a good show. And, like, they canceled it, and I was like, what the hell is it for?
Like, what numbers do y'all, what numbers are y'all expecting?
Yeah, like.
Survivor Most was funny. It was good. It showed different. It was getting there, like, we're showing that depth of what they was kind of trying to go, especially showing with Chuck and, like, how she's going with her life and mom trying to figure out where she wants to be with her, like, her religion and her spirituality.
It shows that why you got to have a certain urgency early in a show, but that's tough, though, because you can have that urgency and then it can kind of flatline, like I think was kind of the case with Power and also with Scandal, too.
Yeah.
Like, that
Scandal hit it so hard at the beginning, it was like...
It was like, hey, how can you keep this pace up?
Now, like, you got your daddy trying to kill you every other episode.
Right.
God damn.
Like, the only show I've ever seen be able to keep that frantic pace up and still go out on top is 24. 24 didn't...
Well, that second
didn't
24,
let didn't let off the second season
the
of
black,
second
the Black 24.
I like that season.
You did? Yeah. I'm just saying, like, people didn't watch
it. Yeah, I don't know. Season. Because it's hard to remake a show without... I think Jack Bauer is an iconic character. It's hard to bring back the exact same concept without that icon being a part of it at all. Like, so I liked it, but I knew it wasn't going to be able to stand the test of time because you just can't. You can't. It'll be like making Miami Vice without the guys from Miami Vice. You know, you just can't do it. So, but I liked it though. I mean, hell, look at what happened with the show we were just talking about on HBO. True Crime.
True Detective.
Yeah, True Detective. Like that Woody Harrelson, Matthew McConaughey season was dope. That Vince Vaughn, Colin Farrell was not. You know, so it's like kind of hard when you got that. But I know the point of that series is to be a different story every year, but. Be careful, because sometimes those characters will define it. Last show I got on here, another movie, another cable movie, The Defiant Ones.
I only saw like the first episode and a half.
Listen, man. The first episode is one of the most inspirational things I've seen.
Yeah, no, forever. That shit was
like,
crazy.
I was really legitimately in like such a dope creative place after that. And like stuff I was doing was just like, damn, like that. Like you look at that, like, and no, it made me feel like I had my shit together. Like I needed to work as hard as ever, but it made me feel like track. Like my shit. No, not even that I'm off track. Like that just shows how you can be on track and not know it. And not know it yourself. Like, you could be doing some dope stuff and you don't know it at the time because you weren't going to tell Jimmy Iovine in 1975 or 74 he was on track to become Jimmy Iovine. He was just working hard all the time, doing it. Dr. Dre, working hard, had natural talent. He just kept doing his thing, and eventually it peaked, you know? Like, it just kind of shows. And, like, careers like Samuel Jackson's and things like that, it just shows that if you are good at what you do and you keep doing it, people will notice. It will. It can happen. You got to make some good decisions. You got to make some sacrifices along the way. And that series showed all of that. But it shows that no matter where you're coming from, whether you're a white dude from New York or you're a young black dude from inner city LA, you can make it and you can go to places that nobody thought you could. So why can't somebody in the middle rise up the same way? It's like you can do it. But it was like one of the best documentaries I've seen in a very long time. Like there were two really great documentaries I saw last year, that and the Ric Flair 30 for 30. Like, those were just like two stories I just looked at.
30 for 30 was the shit.
And that's not a black story, but no, I'm just saying that was just something great to watch. So, before we move over to the movie side of things, what was your TV event of the year last year?
I know Audition is going to be hard to beat, man. New Audition, man.
New Audition for you?
New Audition, man.
You know what? For me, out of all these things on here, I gotta go Snowfall. Snowfall was hard, man.
Snowfall was hard, man.
You'll
like The Shining, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm looking forward to catching it. I'm looking forward to catching it. Like Snowfall, I just appreciated how it kept on growing. Like, it's hard for me to compare that to, like, Dave Chappelle's stand-up.
Yeah, because that's two different genres.
Yeah, but, like, we forgot a show. People get mad at me. I forgot about this. Insecure.
Oh, It was good. I don't think it was as good to me as the first season.
I think that this year was more, it was a different angle. I think it was like about establishing.
Is what you call coming back, her boyfriend?
Lawrence?
Yeah.
I don't.
Because I feel like that story kind
of
ended, right?
I feel like that was the end of that run. Yeah. I feel like that's the end of that. Like, he's doing movies and stuff now. Anyway.
Oh, so he may not even be in season three.
Yeah, he might
at
not
all.
Be there. Yeah, like, he's doing movies and stuff. Like, he got a movie with Megan Good and, like, a few other.
Oh, yeah, with Omari Hardwick. I saw that. Yeah. It was, like, a love story, like, on the election night love story or something.
Yeah, something like that. Like, so he's, like, going on to do other stuff. But, Insecure, man.
I forgot for the bracket.
Insecure. I know.
We'll discuss this afterwards. Yeah,
take a look and see.
Yeah.
Insecure, I just like what Insecure is doing though. Like, it's representing, like, it's just like a, like, I think one of the biggest compliments I heard about Insecure came from, like, even, like, other black people, like, I can't really relate. Like, older, like is this what it's like? And I'm like,
now, like,
yeah. I said that show is now. That's how things are now.
And like, I can't even relate as much though. I think that's still even outside my cusp a little bit.
Yeah, I'm moving out of that point in life, but I remember it enough to kind of know how it is. Like, I don't have it as active as that, but it just kind of reminds me of probably about 6 years ago or so now, probably in my life, when I would have been on that brink of late 30s. I've been mid-late 30s back then, you know, so it was like. But yeah, I just like it, man. I like the fact that the characters are there. Issa was annoying the hell out of me, which was good because that was the point of her character.
Yeah.
You know, so she did great, and it always was good conversation and battle of the sexes lines and stuff like that too. And so, I mean, yeah, she had quite a year. She got popped in her eye, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
Oversold it.
Yeah.
I was just like, whatever though. She's extra though. And that's who she is. And there were a couple scenarios in that season where I was just like, not happening.
Yeah, that's
not fair. But Lawrence had him a real one. in the second chick, in the new chick.
Tasha.
No.
The the Indian.
Yeah. He had him real.
I mean, he had some bad. Well,
he's in LA. He's supposed to. It ain't like the show's getting filmed in Cleveland or like broadcasting live from West Virginia. It's Insecure. Like, this is LA. You better get anybody listening to this show in LA or Southern California, you better.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say to you. But out of those still, Snowfall, just, I love Snowfall. I love to see what that is. And like, it's kind of crazy to think the early 80s are like period piece shows now. Crazy. But like, that's what it is. And that's like a dope thing to see.
Oh, the Stranger Things count for blackness?
No. I think that's just black character.
Did you see season 2?
Yeah.
It was a little bit more black, and they showed his family and shit a lot more, too.
Well, yeah. But I just still think that's just a part of the bigger picture.
General masses.
Yeah, I think that's a part of it. Good year for that kid, though. Shout out for him. He was Ricky Bell and Stranger Things. Yep. So, like, he had a good year, man. Good for him. He's coming up as a...
And he was he won on what's the show? Lip Sync Battle.
Go for it.
He did. I'm bad too.
Let's move on to some movies, man. Let's get through these. I didn't see a lot of these, but I mean, speak to them if you did. Sleepless with Jamie Foxx.
I did not see that.
It was out there. I heard people talk about it.
I seen it coming on cable. I was thinking I wanted to check it out, but Jamie Foxx hasn't been good in a long time.
Yeah, I know, man. That's what I was gonna say. Like, Jamie Foxx, I think, kind of had that moment. Do you have the moment? Like, Jamie Foxx can do so many things, though. He'll always be.
He'll always relevant. Be able to cut a check somewhere.
Yeah, like, he'll always be relevant. He can be good at stuff. I just don't think he's had the best. I don't think he's picked the best roles.
No, he's not, especially coming off that Oscar.
Yeah.
When he first got the Oscar, he's trying to double up and try to win back to back Oscars.
Yeah.
Like, there's only two black men that can run that kind of gambit. And their names are Sidney Poitier and Denzel Washington, the only ones that are going to get back-to-back Oscar nominations.
Yeah, like, he should have, like, what he should have done is took that Oscar and then took a little time away from that type of role and took on, like, that type of angle that, like, The Rock is taking on, where he's just doing a lot
action
of just...
Movies and stuff.
Yeah, just
when
doing...
He learned that when... No, he did try to do that.
Well, yeah, you got to pick good ones, though, you know? I mean, like, he was good in that movie with Tom Cruise.
Stealth, Jarhead, he was doing all kind of
dumb stuff. Was the movie he did with Tom Cruise where he was driving the car?
But that was at the same time.
Yeah, see, that was forever.
Talking about a collateral.
Collateral, yeah.
But that was at the same time. He's one of the only actors to be nominated in the same year for different categories.
Yeah, that's true.
He got nominated for Oscar for Best Supporting Actor in that movie.
That was a good movie.
That was a good movie. That was a fucking good movie. Collateral was.
Did you see I'm Not Your Negro?
15 minutes of.
I need to watch the whole thing. I want to watch it and let it resonate.
Yeah, I need to see. It's like every time I was going to watch it, it was like I was like either a mood where I was like, I don't want to go through no extra black shit right now. Or I was too much in a like happy, like.
I'm not in a place for this.
I still ain't finished 12 Years a Slave. It's still on my DVR. I've watched it in like 15-minute increments. I still haven't finished another show that we should talk about too. That we should actually need to put on this for TV. Underground.
Oh, yeah, I'm not hip.
And they canceled that this year or whatever. But it got canceled just because it was not because it wasn't ratings, it was because the budget was too much for it. But, like, I can't finish the last two episodes because there's a lot to deal with watching a slave narrative for an hour.
Yeah, that's the hard thing for me, man, with a lot of the movies that deal with blackness is I'm acutely aware of my history. I'm acutely aware of what was involved with it. It's very hard for me to put that into my entertainment sphere, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll watch a documentary all day about what happened and
reconcile. So that's why I can do I'm Your Natural Negro.
I got to put it into my documentary sphere. It's just, like, something to do for that because it's an important thing. All Eyes on Me.
All Eyes on Me, as I call it. This is actually one of the worst movies of 2017 for me. I despised this movie. I despised it. And anybody that even said they like it, I questioned their life.
You were very upset on Facebook.
Oh, yeah, you remember how mad I was.
You were very upset about it.
Dude, I was so mad. I wanted to leave. I tried to leave.
Like, I was all hemmed up, ready to go. And I read Facebook and I said, nah.
Dude, I literally was getting ready to leave. My wife pulled me back down. I was like, I literally was the dude. If you was in the crowd, you'd be like, this dude is getting... I was like, this is some bullshit. Like, I literally was sitting... I was verbally out loud mad. Like, there's a scene where he has an iPhone, man. An iPhone, dog. He's talking on an iPhone.
Moving right along.
Y'all can go listen to my review on the network, either on Lando Cal Network or on Stroud Local. I put them on both feeds because I was that mad. That I mean, it did a double feature.
Did you do an emergency podcast?
By myself. Look. And yo, I talked for 27 minutes by myself. I'm gonna put some more layers on it. In my car on lunch. Like, it was that much after that next day. I went in my car on my lunch and recorded it.
You was looking like that chick on The Miz won the title.
Yep, exactly. Round up. I was so hot, dude. I was so hot, man.
Did you...
No, let me go back to this. Look, he performed Hail Mary in the movie. I mean, come on, man.
I would love... New challenge. Somebody produce footage of Pac performing Hail Mary for me.
No, somebody was like, I think he did perform it. No. I know everything about Pac. He died before... It was all...
That was footage from heaven, dog.
He performed Hail Mary right before he did hit him up.
I'm not watching this movie.
That's what I'm saying, man.
I keep on saying.
It's disrespectful. But I want to give... I have an idea for a way it could have been better.
How are people not looking at that and saying, yo, this isn't... This isn't at all how life went.
No, not at all.
Is he still going to be alive at the end of it?
My version I had, you just take one night of Tupac, the night he died, and make that a movie.
Is that what they're doing with this one that's coming on FX? Or USA?
No, it's going to be like, it's like basically the OJ joint.
Oh, okay.
So it's going to be Biggie and Tupac, though. So they're doing it. So I don't know how they're doing it. I'm interested in seeing it. But all you do is you take one night with Tupac, and you take flashbacks of stuff that happened in his past. So he's riding and hanging out at the club, doing crazy shit. And you do flashbacks of certain points in his life. So you don't have to tell the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
You Tupac is too complicated. You could do one night, the night of the rape, and even do a
proper
movie
about Tupac's life would have to be like the length of The Godfather.
That's what I'm saying. You can't do that. Ain't nobody going to have no budgets for no shit like
that. You can't do a 3-hour movie about Pac to do it. Or it have to be like the length of that New Edition movie. Even that New Edition movie jumped over a lot of time.
Yeah, and it still wasn't enough.
Yeah.
But it did what it could, you know, within that budget. Or my gangster idea with it was doing a Tupac movie from all the women in his life, from their perspective.
Mm.
Because women affected him a lot. You do one from Phoenix's perspective, his sister Suchi, Jada Pinkett, and Kadada, the four women, the main women that's been in his life, and you do it from their perspective of like how they're viewing Pac and their dealings with Pac. If you wanted to kind of do it on a back door,
I have enjoyed that brief glimpse of Pac in Straight Outta Compton.
That was better than the movie.
I said that was his energy right there.
And you know what? I'm going back to this Pac movie one more time before we go to our next movie. You saw how good Straight Outta Compton was and how it's laid out, and then you come up with that shit. Just keep that shit. And you know, if you're going back into the history of why the dude that had the rights to it only did produce the movie because he's going to run out of the rights and was going to go back to the Shakur family.
Mm-hmm.
It was like one of those things like what Fox would do with Fantastic Four and shit. Like, to be able to keep the rights, we're gonna come out with some shit. Like, we can keep the rights to all these characters. Same shit.
He deserved better than that.
Better than that, man.
On a lighter note, Girls Trip.
Fucking hilarious, dude. I didn't think it was gonna be that funny.
That came out of, that slapped me in the back of my head.
Look, because my wife went to see with all her friends, of course, with all her girls and stuff, and she was like, we should go. You should see it. It's really funny. And
I had that exact same conversation. Sans the wife.
Yeah, but I was like, for real. I was like, man, I'm sure it's cool. Like, I wasn't like, oh, it's bad, but I was like, it's not gonna relate to me. It's like going to see one of Amy Schumer movies or some shit. Like, not my bad.
They went to go see that movie, and then like later that day, it was like, you need to go see this. I'm like, I'm probably not gonna go check Girls Trip out by myself. Yeah. Like, I
went like a week or two later with my wife. Like,
yeah, like I watched it. I ended up checking it out when I was working from the crib. I just ended up getting it on Redbox and watching it one day. I'm like, okay,
this is good.
Yeah, she just peed on like 20 people.
Exactly. Yo, it was good. I'm glad they're doing a part two. Like, it was basically a black woman's hangover.
Yeah, it was dope. Not Hangover. Even though that's a good comparison. They made another movie like that.
Well, they made a white version of this that just came out recently and bombed.
Yeah, that wasn't good. But it kind of reminded me of Bridesmaids.
Oh, okay.
Bridesmaids. It was just a different angle, and it was just that same type of comedy where it was like, big spot humor.
If
like,
you can make some good humor for black women, yo, you're going to get paid.
Yeah.
Proud Mary got fucking $16 million and that wasn't even that good.
Yeah.
And my wife went with all her friends. They did a whole other day thing again. And she said all the theaters were sold out for Proud Mary. I'm like, God damn. And then you look at the
numbers. People, because Proud Mary, well, we can talk about it now. Yeah. Proud Mary got that backlash. They said, hey, y'all ain't putting this movie out there.
Yeah.
Like, y'all aren't out here promoting it. And then what ended up happening was is that it came out on the heels of Atomic Blonde. Which was a similar type of movie, diametrically opposite, if you want to be technical.
Technically, everything about it opposite.
But you know, but it wasn't good though. Like
it's an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like that's a Sundance movie.
Look, it's episodes of Black Mirror longer than that.
Yeah, no shit. But so like that's the thing about it is I love the fact that we jump up to support it. We shouldn't be so quick to jump up with our offense about it, because sometimes these things aren't putting tons of promotion behind something.
It's a reason why.
Because there's a reason why.
Yeah.
And there's also a reason why.
It's moving in January. Double bullshit movies in January,
right,
too.
Exactly. In between Christmas and in between the award show season, because it's not going to mean anything, you know.
The only one I saw that worked with that, and that was, what was the joint with Taraji and... the story of the astronaut, the women, the mathematics astronauts. Hidden Figures.
Hidden Figures, thank you.
That one came out in January.
Yeah. And but you know what though, that movie came out like in the wave of what we were talking about last episode.
Yeah, because it came out limited screens like in November. October.
Well, but it came out in time to be out by Black History Month too, which is a
exactly.
Smart play,
yeah, that's
you know,
a, yeah, that's
and,
good.
And
yeah.
That's a smart play. That's a smart time to do that. Another movie. I'm gonna go. Back, I didn't see this, but I need to see it. It's another one of those movies I think is going to be hard on watching it. Detroit.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one either.
And the thing I want to see, I think Detroit is going to kind of go off some stuff that my dad told me about how Detroit was. His grandfather, my great-grandfather, lived.
He's from Detroit.
Well, lived in Detroit. He moved to Detroit. I think he was there during this time period.
Oh, shit.
So, like, he's talking about, like, the state of, like, the inner city of Detroit and how it was kind of like a hangover for the city of Detroit that even went on to present day. Because I've been to Detroit. And we've been to that area that, like, he lived in. And it's very obvious to see that they just basically said, fuck it.
We just ain't coming. We ain't rebuilding shit.
Yeah, this is on y'all. Y'all figure it out. You know what I'm saying? Type of thing. So that's what intrigues me about that movie. But that's a story. That's like a modern day like civil rights story that needs to be heard. Because you know, like there's stuff like that. So like in 25 years when they're making movies, major budget movies about Ferguson, you know, like that needs to be known.
Yeah.
You know, like that's the type of stuff that needs to happen.
That
needs to
be
out there.
One of them that I gotta.
All right, let's get serious.
Right. Get my mind right.
Let's get serious for a moment, right. Though, as if that wasn't serious enough. Boo.
A Madea Halloween.
A Madea Halloween.
Still haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it either, but Tyler Perry really has found a way
now
to make it happen.
You mentioned Tyler Perry. Have you seen the preview for his new movie coming out?
No, what's it called?
I forgot. It looks funny.
He had another movie that came out. Was it 2000?
Legitimately.
Well, wasn't he had another? He had like an action movie. Was that 2016?
It's about the one where he played Alex Cross.
I thought there was another one besides that.
No, I think.
Okay, maybe I'm thinking about that. That was like 15, I think. But no, I haven't seen it. But hey, shout out to I just threw that in there because I'm like, this is like it's like a black movie series that we take for granted because it's just kind of there. And I'm probably not going to go see it, but it's good to have that stuff be out there into that.
Well, this Tyler Perry movie, though, we actually covered it on Lando Cal during a preview section. It looks good. It's basically about a woman. I think it's Taraji. And her husband remarries and she kills him, or you think she kills him maybe, but you don't know why. It's some crazy shit like that. Now, this could be a badass movie, totally, but it looks like it interests me. There's no Madea in it. And actually, on the preview for it, it doesn't even say a Tyler Perry film on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it literally dumbed it down where it's like, you don't even know. You had to know that it was a Tyler Perry movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Acrimony.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, it's Acrimony. It's with Taraji. It's Tika Sumter. and Jay Hunter, the dude that played the boyfriend. Oh, you saw She's Gotta Have It, right? Oh, you haven't seen it yet. Hmm. He plays one of the boyfriends of She's Gotta Have It. He plays her husband. Like, so
this it's me, coming out this year.
Yeah, it comes out March 30th.
Oh, good, awesome. The day after my birthday.
I might have to check that one out, man. I got an embargo against Tyler Perry, but I'm off. Embargo. And actually, no. I'll take that back. I don't have an embargo against him because he should be able to make crappy movies just like Adam Sandler does. So
find your lane.
Yeah,
there's a lane.
Black people should be able to do the same shit and get paid. Exactly. Make crappy shit and get paid.
Get it done. Justice League. Inherently not a black movie, but Cyborg.
Cyborg is the best part of the movie, man.
Yeah. Cyborg was cool. I hope that that character doesn't become like the Black Widow of...
Well, you know they was going to kill him at first, right? That was the thing. The script was originally written for Cyborg to die in that movie.
Yeah, that's impossible. So...
The original script was to have him die or whatever. And I was like, oh, that'd have been... Niggas would have not been there for that. Look, somebody... See, this is why you guys got to have a black person in your room. Like, even if he's like an assistant or something,
you gotta have Wood Harris from the New Edition movie sitting in there.
Yeah, like, hey, Cyborg died. Hey, excuse me.
We've decided. Oh, actually, I've decided that's not gonna work.
Yeah.
Why don't you kill that? Why don't
you be like, let me go to my Twitter real quick and just put out there the only black character in the movie dies.
Why don't you kill that nigga that's swimming around with them fish? How about that?
Well, we ain't gonna kill nobody then. All right then. Well, I'm just telling you. They ain't good for the black folks if you kill Cyborg.
I thought that he did a good job of kind of being a good utility guy in that movie. Enjoyed seeing the character come to screen. If anything, he kind of is the black superhero that sometimes kind of gets lost in the mix for our generation at least. Because Cyborg wasn't a big character. He was a Teen Titan.
Yeah, he's a Teen Titan.
But like he blew up at some point. And
he blew up from the Teen Titans TV show, that little cartoon, I think.
Well, it blew up. Now he's like a mainstay in the Justice League.
No. He blew up from Flashpoint, the cartoon.
Oh, okay.
Remember, he's one of the main characters in the Flashpoint comic.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And then they used him a lot in the Justice League cartoon movies.
Yeah.
So that's where kind of...
It was a carryover character.
Yeah, because they needed a black character. And they didn't have Black Lightning was actually a joke before. Like, have you seen, like...
Harvey Birdman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the people joked about it. They're like, we can't do Black Lightning as in Justice League. What about Cyborg? Fuck it. Let's just move him up from Teen Titans.
Well, I'm glad they did that. Well, the reason why I appreciate Cyborg is that they didn't just go the easy way by putting John Stewart Green Lantern in there. Like, you put another black character in there, and you let the door open for another black character to show up.
Cyborg is pretty ill with his backstory. Have you ever read into his backstory?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, he has a whole storyline where he's basically... fighting another black dude over like blackness.
Mm-hmm.
Like the one black dude becomes a cyborg too, and he's like, we should kill all the people that fucked up black people. Like he's like, no, we can't do that. He's like, motherfucker, I'm a robot. I don't do that shit. And he's trying to stop him from basically doing that and killing the people that created them type shit. And I'm like, yo, this is some interesting shit. That's a good way to do it.
DC has the ability to tell those stories when they want to tell them. You know, like
movies,
the drug angle of Green Arrow,
right.
Green Lantern and all of that. Like, that was a great ability to do that. Roman J. Israel, Esquire.
I have not seen that yet. I still need to see that shit. Dude.
For me, it's that Denzel movie that you got to get every once in a while. Well, it's Denzel playing a strong character role. You know, and he does that every 3 or 4 years. He just takes a
random
role.
Person and make him into
and it's just a Denzel movie. Like when Denzel takes on that character and like it's like he just drives the movie. Like in that.
So
Denzel
he's driving that bus and he's gonna ride that bus and just drive his bitch.
Yeah, that's Denzel.
It's not like Fences where it's like she's bouncing off Viola Davis where it's kind of like that.
It's a Denzel Washington movie.
And he's driving that bus and everybody's sitting in the back.
Yeah,
like, I'm gonna take you there.
Like only Denzel does that type of. I'm gonna tell you what. I'm gonna do this.
Is he the only actor left that does that?
Tom Hanks does it pretty well.
Tom Hanks, but those are probably considered old school actors now. There's no new school actors now that do that, do they? That drive the movie.
Ryan Gosling's really good at that. Ryan Gosling can take a movie and own it. Yeah.
I mean Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh well, yeah. I mean you're talking. I mean any era's Top Gun like that is gonna be able to do that. But Ryan Gosling
can do it. Do you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on, dude. I mean, like, Meet Joe Black, Benjamin Button. I mean, yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
He's inherently Tom Cruise can still do it.
When he wants to.
Yeah, you know, I mean, yeah. So, then, yeah, to answer your question, there's a lot of guys that could do that. But Denzel.
He's the only black. Is he the only black one?
Maybe, but Denzel's the greatest black actor of all time, though, too. So, it's like, He should be able to do it. So, I mean, it's just, he's just an elite.
Don Cheadle has the opportunity to. They just got to give him some more shots.
Yeah, he's got to get the bigger
Talk
roles.
To Me was is a fucking great film. You've seen Talk to Me before. Like, that's a slept on fucking movie, man.
It's a great movie.
He brought Petey Green to life in that
What's Don Cheadle doing right now?
What is he doing? Because his show House of Lies.
Yeah, House of Lies is over. I don't know what Don Cheadle's doing right now. Next movie is one I missed, and I kind of forgot about it, but it was because I don't always see the HBO movies when they drop. It was The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks.
I didn't see that, though. I mean, I know that's the one with Oprah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see it. I know what it's about, but it was pretty good.
Oprah, I haven't seen it yet. It's one that got lost in the mix for me. I'm going to watch it, though, just because HBO doesn't really let me down too much on their movies, so I can kind of trust the quality of it. I need to check that out.
And, he's doing an Avengers movie. That's what Don Cheadle's doing.
Well, I know he's doing that, but
yeah, they got him listed for Infinity War, and they got for the untitled Avengers movie.
I guess so. I don't know. It just seems like the other guys in the Avengers movies have like other movies that are coming out around.
He's got a movie called Prince of Darkness that's coming out soon. About Jeremiah Hamilton, a Wall Street broker known as the only black millionaire in New York. Okay, I've heard of this dude. This is the first black, supposed to be the first black millionaire.
Well, that sounds
in
like
1875.
That sounds like a role that. Yeah, that sounds
there
like...
There you go, that's a drive bus rule.
Yeah, right? That sounds like an opportunity for him to do his thing.
Yeah, I've heard about this guy. He's the first amassed a fortune of $2 million by the time of his death in 1875.
That's a lot of money in 1875.
He's the first black millionaire. Well, no, he's the first black male millionaire because the first black millionaire is a woman.
Well, the first black millionaire is from Africa.
What? American.
Okay, American. Yeah, American. Oh, okay. Like, that's first African-American.
Well, no, it was a woman that basically... was an ex-slave that basically was like, I think she's like a house whore or something, and just flipped her money in like the early 1800s or something like that. But Jeremiah Hamilton, so that's going to be some ill shit right there.
Here's another one. Marshall.
That was great, man. It was good. That was directed by Reginald Hudlin too, man.
Mm.
So it was good, man. I realized it didn't make his budget back, man. It was good. It was good, man. And it was one of those things where you can't tell the whole life of Marshall... with Thurgood Marshall, because it's fucking hard to do a movie like that. But to show one case, one instance, you got to really see how Thurgood Marshall was. He was a jive fly dude. Like, I've heard that stuff before, though, too. I also heard he's like a legendary hazer, too, but that's a whole other thing. shout out to Bernie Sands.
he's a good brother. That's probably why.
The movie is written by a lawyer, too. It's a guy that studied history, and he was a lawyer. He's a black guy, and he said that he loved that story about because of all the drama that. Did you see Marshall?
No, not yet.
Oh yeah, all the stuff he went to because basically, Thurgood Marshall, they cut him off. Well, he couldn't talk at all during the trial.
Mm.
He had to do everything through the Jewish guy that he was using for the proxy. Because like when you go to a different state, you can use your law through another lawyer or whatever. So that lawyer he used was like an insurance lawyer. That dude ended up becoming a civil rights activist, the white guy.
Wow.
After this, a civil rights lawyer after this situation.
That's the layover effect, man.
Yeah.
That's the...
But it was dope the way they had it set up because, and even at the end of the movie it was dope, they had, he had his next case because he was going on to his next case because it was so crazy. He couldn't even, the NAACP, he was so crazy with it. NAACP had him pop in so many places. He couldn't even stay to the end of the trial for the verdict. They're like, oh no, you gotta go down to Alabama. The little boy got lynched down there. And the parents he met was Trayvon Martin parents. They played the parents of that kid that got killed in Alabama for his next case.
Mm.
Like that was like some, you know, like Marshall was good, man. I hope people really check it out on the back end and be able to make some paper on the back end. That was a good move. But anyway, that lawyer wrote the play. I mean, not play the screenplay like a law setting would be. He said he was tired of seeing like movies where it's not showing really how a real courtroom is really acted. And he wrote the movie as a lawyer would be really enacting the case.
Mm.
So it was good, man. It was good, man. It was
basically necessary type of movie, man. Like those are the things you got to have, man. You know, you hear these names all your life to really see why they matter is important, man. That's why I liked the Jackie Robinson movie that came out a couple of years ago.
Yeah, 42.
Where he just got kind of to the point of, you know, how difficult it was to be him, you know, yeah. Like what that was all about. The thing,
you think
the
a
thing,
Hank Aaron movie,
the thing
would work, or is he not?
I'm thinking bigger than that. I would like to see a Negro Leagues movie, like a movie
they
about Well, no, I'm talking about one that's a big budget movie.
HBO did the one big one.
That's not what I'm talking about.
You saying like
you need to be go
$100 million budget?
Yeah, I'm talking about a real. I'm talking about a.
But what? Okay, but that's interesting. So what time would you do the history of, or would you just take a time period?
It doesn't even have to be based off of. I mean, I would like for them to have. I'd like for them to follow a fictional Negro League around as he plays in the Negro League,
and you just
have
make people, it a fictional story about.
No, it's a real story, but you have people in there. Just a story about that. About I mean, I guess you know.
But
a,
he runs into Josh based Gibson.
On a,
but he'll
based
run
into, on a true story. Yeah.
Yeah, but he run into Josh Gibson.
Yeah.
They basically do the story of Buck O'Neill, basically. Yeah. Damn near, we'll because Buck O'Neill is the the kind of
Buck O'Neill movie would be tremendous.
You know what I'm saying? But like, he's the ancillary person that's not the Hall of Famer, where he's super big. But he's the guy that's in the room.
He should be a Hall of Famer.
He should be. But so I'm saying
great oversights.
But he's the guy that is kind of like the guy in the room that's kind of like watching everything. But he's not the guy in the middle of the crap game.
Yeah.
But he's the one that's watching it. But so he was there to experience it.
Yeah.
So he knows everything about it. So that
needs to happen.
A Buck O'Neill movie, but it'll be basically.
Let me get this filmmaking thing down a little bit. Let me get the documentaries down. Let me see what
so
I can
do. So you cover with Josh Gibson.
Just all sorts of people, man. I mean, you know, those are the really famous ones. But those guys that were just as good as those guys that just don't get as much run.
Yeah.
You know, and like talk about those guys. You know,
Crew Papa Bill.
What that meant. Oscar Charleston might have been the best of all of them.
Yeah.
You know, Buck Leonard, you know, all of those guys, you know. But last movie
Buck
here.
Leonard. Oh, shit. Yeah.
Last one we got on the list here, Mudbound.
Mudbound is probably, but it was my second favorite movie of the year.
Okay.
Behind Get Out.
Oh, it's not our last one.
Yeah.
So I skipped over.
Yeah. Mudbound is basically the story of a black returning war veteran from World War II and a white returning veteran, and then basically becoming cool because they were like, yo, we both been through shit, and they both in Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And they like, and like, basically the white guy grew up in Mississippi and realized like, yo, like, in the film, it's crazy because he was telling the black guy don't trust no white person because he'd been through all this shit. He didn't took racism in Germany. He didn't took racism in here.
He's like,
why you even want to be friends with me? Like, he just told him straight up, and it's played by Jason Mitchell that played Eazy-E in Straight Outta Compton.
Mm-hmm.
And he says to him, man, why you want to be like, man, he's like, honestly, man, he tells a story about how his whole squadron get fucked up. He's a pilot. And guess who saved his ass? The fucking Tuskegee Airmen. He's gonna fucking get his ass shot out the earth. And he said, black, and the black dude was on some player shit too, that because the black dude flew up next to his plane. So he's like, who the fuck is this that saved us?
Mm-hmm.
And he look over, nigga go like this. Like, hey, yo, just like a black dude do, got you? And then peeled off, like peeled off in his Mustang jet. Like, I peeled off on him. And he was like, he knew then that it wasn't all about none of that shit because them motherfuckers saved his life. And so, you know, and I won't spoil any of the movie for everybody because the end fucks you up. You got to just be prepared to be fucked up. You be prepared. We talked about before about how you need to prepare to see certain things. I wasn't prepared that it was going to end like that. If I'd have known it was going to end like that, I probably wouldn't have watched it. And when I did, because it was like, damn, man, now I gotta go to bed and go to work tomorrow. Shit.
Like, I think that you have to watch movies like that on Fridays. Fridays is the best day to watch those movies because, like, you can get you some good sleep.
Saturday day.
You got like a couple of days to like go feel yourself away from the corporate world and like just get back to like your life. Like, Friday or early Sunday morning, so you can go to church afterwards.
You gotta watch it early, like 6 a.m.
Yeah, you gotta get up early as hell. That's when I watched. The Butler. It was early on Sunday morning. Real early.
These are real
man, Sunday. I was like, all right, I'm good. Like,
last but not least, man, Get Out.
Get Out.
Which is a documentary, as
I have been. I don't know what else I'm supposed to say about Get Out. I think I've been very clear about Get Out.
That's my favorite movie of the year, man. That's my movie of the year.
Yeah, it's movie of the year. That should be everybody's movie of the year.
Yeah. Like,
I haven't seen Lady Bird. I haven't seen Three
Lady
Billboards in Evans, Missouri.
I haven't seen that.
I'm not watching the movie with the fish man.
Shape of Water.
I'm not watching that.
I want to see that. I mean, you know, I'm a movie dude.
I know. I'm a big fan of movies too. But okay, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I will watch it, but I'm not considering a fish man movie to be Picture of the Year when Get Out came out that same year.
Oh, and
like maybe if it would have come out the same year as like The Artist or something like that, I could deal with it.
The Artist is this year.
No, The Artist was won Best Picture 3 years ago.
No, I'm talking about Disaster Artist.
Yeah.
The one joined with James Franco.
Yeah.
And on the low, he probably would have been nominated for an Oscar if it wasn't for him getting jammed up.
Mm.
Because I heard Disaster Artist fucking good.
Oh, yeah, I've heard good things
about it. Yeah, he probably, if he even got jammed up, he probably got 98
for I've heard good things about it. I need to watch, I'm going to try to watch a few of them in the next few weeks, some of those other movies. But I do not expect.
Dunkirk was good too, though.
I do not expect for either. Everybody said Dunkirk is good or it isn't. I've enjoyed
it. Yeah, I like Dunkirk.
Like, people say it's one or the other. I'm going to watch it because I like Christopher Nolan. But I'm not expecting for anything to be better than Get Out.
No.
I just don't see how. I don't see how it could be. Like, spoiler alert, Get Out's my picture of the year. So Snowfall and Get Out are my two pinnacles of black cinema this year. Yeah, that's...
No, it's so many deeper on so many levels. Every time I watch it, I see some new shit.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched it at least 6 times. Because it's on cable now, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I can stream it on HBO now, like...
Yeah.
Like, it's fucking good, man. And I'm glad that he... I kind of want a sequel. So a part of me kind of wants a sequel. And Teddy has some crazy shit ideas. Shout out to Teddy, man. Like basically like a vampire hunter type thing, but like where he goes around and kills all the people that had taken somebody's identity.
Hmm.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like a vampire hunter type thing, like a Blade. He's like a Blade, but like...
Reparations.
Yeah, movie. Reparations with Blade, because if you looked at... It was more people than there's people in this town. Some of these people just probably went to a regular place in Seattle that wasn't nowhere close to upstate New York and just went on as this black person.
Mm-hmm.
So, like he said, it's basically all these doppelgangers all over the world, potentially, for this.
You think Omarosa's one?
Yo! And her husband had it done because he really wanted a white woman? Oh, man. Yo, Omarosa would be getting...
Yo, but do you think Omarosa's one?
She couldn't be, though. Shit. Is Ben Carson one? Because he flipped it up. And, you know, what if Ben Carson is the actual one that does it? And he's the first one, just like on in Get Out, where the old man is the first one that to undergo it.
Hmm?
You know what I'm saying? No, his wife was the first one to undergo it in Get Out, was the mother. Shout out to Betty. I went to high school with the girl, college with the girl that played the mother.
Mm-hmm.
Like mother.
Yeah, you told me that.
Yeah, shout out to Betty, man. She's got some dope movies coming up soon, too, though, she told me. So shout out to her.
Gotta have her on.
Yeah, no. I'm gonna try to get her on, man. We're gonna have to do a phone call with her. She's in LA.
We can just go to LA.
That's true, too. We can just go to LA and just kick it.
Yeah,
we go to LA. We used to do a whole bunch of interviews. We just have to just block out days.
That's kind of my goal, especially with the new show and all of that, is to go and pool a bunch of interviews.
Yeah,
for shows.
Just block them out.
Last question before we wrap this one up, man. What was your performance of the year?
Performance of the year.
Both TV and movie.
Okay.
Pick one from both, like overall performance of the year.
TV of the year performance. That's a good one, man. Man. That's a good one, man. You got me on that. For TV, for movies.
Mine is Lil Rel.
Get Out.
That was the best. He was everybody's got him. Shout out to Lil Rel Howery, man. He was riding Get Out. And he's just sitting there like, dog, you gotta get out of there. What the fuck is wrong with you? Like, that's everybody's got. I know I've got at least 6 of those cats in my life. Daryl's one of them. Like, he's like, dog, you gotta get out of there. Daryl was the last person that would ever get caught up in the Get Out scenario, first of all. Like, it's impossible. Like, it just would not happen.
Oh, no. Like, these motherfuckers.
You want me to go where and do what?
Fuck no.
Wait a minute, you white?
You white? What?
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
No, I'm good.
No.
I'm straight.
I'm gonna go on, even though I dissed this movie earlier, I'm going with Corey Hardwick as Haitian Jack in Tupac movie. He was good in that, man. I'm gonna go, that's my actor of the year.
Sometimes there are.
He was damn good as Haitian Jack, man. Like, he's a fucking good actor, man, low, man. Corey Hardwick.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's perfect. Like, sometimes you need something to be like, if you gonna watch this, at least watch it for this.
Yeah, he's good as hell as Haitian Jack, and I know that's random as fuck, but he was good as hell as Haitian Jack in All Lies on Me.
How do we think Get Out's gonna do at the Oscars?
I don't think he's gonna win a goddamn thing.
Wow.
It's a travesty it won't, but it ain't going no goddamn thing. Shape of Water, they are sucking the Shape of Water sack right now.
Can't do it. Can't do the Fishman movie.
I mean, they're sucking the sack out of that one. Like, oh, another a documentary, man, dude, we didn't talk about this, that I thought was pretty good, that was black, Strong Island.
I heard about that.
It's pretty good, man. It's basically a random, it's not a random story, but it's a story of this guy that gets shot by a guy from an auto body shop shoots this guy that was trying to find out what was going on with his car. So this dude was like bullshitting him along for a long time. He shoots and kills him and he doesn't go to jail. So the girl, his little sister does a documentary about her trying to keep the case alive and stuff and like figure out what's going on to find out what's going on. Mm. It's pretty good, man.
Gotta watch that one of these Sundays.
Yes, it was on Netflix. It was on Netflix.
Gotta watch it one of these Sunday mornings.
Yep.
Friday night.
Yeah, you can't watch that during
the not ruining my Saturday. Definitely not doing it during the week.
Yeah, you don't want to do that one. At all. Definitely won't do that one at all. What about your actor? You said Lil Rel was your movie. What about TV show actor?
Probably my man from Luke Cage.
Michael Coulter.
Yeah. Michael Coulter was strong. But
you talking about Mahshal Ali?
No, I'm talking about Michael Coulter. I'm talking about Mahshal Ali is so good. I mean, he's great at everything. Like, I'm just like, you know what though? But you know, part of why I like the show so much, you know, Damson Idris from Snowfall was good, man.
Yeah, he's good, man.
He was good, man. Like, he was just like young dude on the way up.
African, you know? Dude too. Yeah. We're not African, British.
Yeah, like he was good, man. Like he drove that. Like, it was one of the great character performances like of the year, you know. So
do you think those, some of those other storylines, are you not as interested in those other storylines on Snowfall though?
I think they all are leading somewhere. Yeah. Like, I think that if watching The Wire taught me anything, it's to this, not
this, this, right. don't
them, write off anything. Like, yeah. Watch it and see how it goes, because all of that stuff's gonna come due. All of it'll come due eventually.
I'm gonna go Anthony Anderson for my actor of the year.
From Blackish?
Mm-hmm.
He's owning that role.
Yeah, he's killing it, man.
He's owning that role.
All right, let's wrap it up, man. Everyone email us, straightolc@gmail.com.
Are we making the announcement?
Yeah, the brackets.
It's that time.
It's that time. We talked about it. The dopest women of all time. Do we want to unveil them? Or we
no.
They're going to tune back in.
No.
It's You'll called see. A teaser. It's called a...
This will be an online drop.
Yeah.
This will be an online drop.
Yeah, there's also a teaser too. They say, you know,
oh, there's gonna be play-ins.
Yeah,
there's gonna be four. There's gonna be so
what? We've already done it.
Brackets are set. The brackets are set. So check it out. This is what it's gonna be. We're gonna have
32,
but we're gonna have four, 32 dopest women of all time. Dopest is subjective to how you see it. They're going against each other in the brackets here. We're gonna determine how it works out. Apparently, this is the most listened to episode we've ever had. So this is the payoff from it as it keeps going. Yep. But we're going to have four play-ins for the 8 seeds in each that are going to go against our number one seeds. And we'll unveil those.
No, you know what?
You want to give them the number one seed?
No. We'll give them the four play-ins. You got the list of them?
I do. It's in there.
Yeah. As he grabs it, these are the four play-in games. If anyone knows the NCAA tournament, you have four play-in games to get into the actual tournament. So these were the last people that better make it in. We also had people that were on the outside. Do we do a bubble watch? Like, who didn't make it?
I'd have to go and pull that.
No, so, but that'd be funny.
We'll do that with Dub.
Like, people that just didn't make it.
Yeah.
But these are your four playing games.
So in the Halle Berry bracket.
The playing, you know what? Let's think of the, we can tell the number one seeds then.
Yeah. This is the Halle Berry bracket. So to remind you, is that this is the playing game to face this number one seed. The number one seed in this bracket is Halle Berry, and this play-in is Yaya DaCosta versus Lauren London.
Smoker.
In the Nia Long bracket, it's Sanaa Lathan versus Tracee Ellis Ross.
Shout out to Blackish.
In the Beyonce bracket, it's Rihanna versus Aaliyah. And in the Pam Grier bracket, maybe my favorite play-in of the whole thing, is Steph Curry Mama versus Meghan Markle.
And we're naming her Steph Curry's Mama.
It's Steph Curry's Mama. That's her name. She's the new age Miss Parker.
We should have put Miss Parker here. Oh, we are going to have to make a swap out here, though.
There will be a change.
Yeah, you already know the change I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
So, listen, and we're going to be starting that voting up. When we drop this, I will make sure the next day voting is available. So, we don't know when we're going to drop this, but that next day, we will have that ready to go. We appreciate y'all as always. Twitter, Straight OLC as well. We appreciate y'all listening as always, y'all. Peace.